You see, today, in verse 7, which I did not read, it compares the vineyard to the house of Israel. And that's what compares the vineyard to the house of God. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are the pleasant plantings. That he expected justice, but he saw bloodshed. He expected righteousness, but he heard a cry. That's a song and a word for us today, that God expects us to grow where we are planted and produce much fruit. But so many times there is bloodshed, and so many times we are fruitless. The wild vineyard. I grew up in the farming community and the country and over in Sampson County, and I serve here in this farming community in rural Harnett County. But it's changing all around us every day. But throughout my lifetime, the many farmers that I have known take a great deal of care tending to their crops, their workers, and their community. They wake up early in the morning, and they work until after the sun goes down in the evening. Each spring is full of great possibilities for a farmer and the promise of a bountiful harvest. Years ago, I remember a story that my granddaddy would always tell. My granddaddy related growing corn to the many stages of life. It says you plant the seeds and you nurture it like you do a child that you're going to nurture and take care of. And as the corn grows, he said, the farmer takes care of those stalks of corn and they apply the right amount of fertilizer and sodium and things to it, each one. I can remember as a kid sitting on the back of a flat trailer. One at the front and one at the back. One had one row and one had the other. And driving through and throwing sody, as they called it, to the watermelons, the cantaloupes, the corn. Somebody was driving slow. Somebody would do one row and you'd do the other. Sitting up there on a little old stool, nothing to hold you on, just hanging on, and a tin tub in front of you. And you knew exactly how much in that hand you better throw, too. Don't throw too much or don't throw too little. You knew how much your hand full was. And he'd say, that's what you need. And don't throw it right on the plant now, it'll burn it. Throw it right beside it. You had to get it just, you know, where it was. That was what you did, but farmers knew that. And my granddaddy knew that, and my daddy knew that. We knew. Parents knew that as it grows, you take care of it. Eventually, those plants are going to mature, and they're going to bear fruit as a child who grows and accomplishes much in life and also grows to have their own family. The time that it takes for the tassels to form in the corn as it withers away in the late summer and early fall represents middle age to a farmer. Although the farmer provides all this care for their crops, farmers must wait on that one component that they cannot control, and that is the rain. Water gauges were important and as common as rural telephone poles and light poles were on the farm and in our community. My granddaddy took care of that water gauge, rain gauge, like it was a child. Every time it sprinkled, every time something come, if it rained during the night, the first thing in the morning he was out there. How much rain did we get? He'd dump it, start again. Everything was important. We know how much rain we're getting. There were some things that you could irrigate, yes, but there were some fields that were so large there was no way that you would be able to irrigate them. So the rainfall. So what did farmers do? They come to places like churches or they knelt in their homes beside chairs, beside beds, and they prayed for their family, they prayed for the harvest, and they asked God to drop rain upon their fields if it be His will. It was something that I heard. It was something that was familiar. It was something that I experienced. It was something that I witnessed. You see, similar to a child growing up, the corn needs the proper amount of guidance. But eventually, the rain determines what will become of the harvest. You see, we live by faith that the rains will come and come at the proper time. And I can remember granddaddies and parents all saying when I was growing up, and they'd say, "Lord, we sure do need some rain." And my granddaddy Ivy especially would say, he said, "Well, we must not, because the Lord hasn't sent it." And I would always think, what is he talking about? The Lord ain't sent it. What's that? But I remember to hear that, and all of a sudden it was like, that's what he's talking about. That's what they're both talking about. Obviously, we don't need it right now. Maybe we've had a great harvest some other time and we were not as thankful for it as we should have been. Maybe we didn't recognize how wondrous it was. And we never know when it's, because the Bible tells us in the New Testament, does what? It rains in season and out of season. And it rains on the good land and the bad land. And it rains on the good farmer and the bad farmer. It rains everywhere, doesn't it? At some times. So we never know, but when he says, when you've been faithful, he says it will come at the proper time. The farmer will harvest whatever grows during the season, whether it reaches its full potential or not. Sometimes the corn doesn't reach its full potential. Sometimes you have nubbins, and when you have nubbins, you don't have a whole full ear of corn, do you? But you have something. But you have something. But as the winter approaches, the farmer will plow over the field and wait once again for spring to continue the relationship that he or she has with the land. You see, in our word today from the prophet Isaiah is the song of the Lord's vineyard. It tells the story of a people who have not lived up to their Creator's expectations. You see, God expected a great deal out of these people. The details of Isaiah's word, they paint a vivid picture of the farmer in the field creating his vineyard with great care and accuracy. And if you've ever planted and taken care of grapevines or an orchard or anything like that where you have to prepare it and you have to put the scaffolding up that they call it and you let it run down this wire and you get things going, or you have to shore up a tree whenever it's bowing down with fruit, and then whenever you pick that fruit and then you prune those branches back and those things, you've put a lot of work into things. You've put a lot of preparing it for this great time, hopefully, that there will be a harvest. But it says sometimes the growth's not there. Sometimes the crop has not met its potential. But here in Prophet Isaiah's words this day about the farmer, about the vineyard, he has created a vineyard with great care and accuracy. This farmer knew that only the best wine would come from his vineyard. That's what he had already said. To the farmer's disappointment, though, the grapes that grew were not fit for wine. They would not have made good wine. The Lord brought the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And that's what the last verse of this song is about today. The Lord provided judges and kings to guide those people of Israel as they grew as a nation. They provided food for them. They provided for the poor, and they cared for one another. They cared about their neighbors. They cared about their friends. They took care of one another, and God helped them. And as the nation of Israel grew and grew, the people began to forget about their Creator. They began to forget about the goodness that God had given them, the bounty that He had let them be a part of. And they began to assimilate with the people of the land. Well, there's nothing wrong with learning and knowing your neighbors, but the thing about them is they forgot something else. They were not strong enough in their faith of God. So they begin to adopt the religion of the country and its practices. So they begin to practice pagan religions. They begin to worship idols. They begin to become a part. Instead of them showing others what God had done in their lives and how they could become great and wonderful, they begin to let go of God, and they took on the many gods, and they took on the many practices and the idol worships and all the stuff and the practices, and they let their God go by the wayside. They no longer cared for the poor among them. They no longer cared for their family and community like they should. They became wild, and they demonstrated a willful disobedience to God. And that's what happens. We become so relaxed. We become so happy. We begin to listen. There's nothing wrong with listening and knowing other things and finding out what people are doing and what's going on around us. But it's at a point to say that we can be strong in who God has called us to be. That we can be strong in our own faith and share that with others. And people will see and know that you love God, that you're a Christian, that you follow His Son, our Savior Jesus. But no, these folks had become complacent. They had been given so much, but here they were complacent in this land. And guess what happened to them? The Assyrians soon overran the nation of Israel. Judah lasted 150 years under its own sovereignty until the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BCE. Isaiah proclaims the nation of Judah as the Lord's vineyard, and he declares the Lord's intent for his nation. And one of the minor prophets in the book of Amos, the second chapter, verse 6, the prophet Amos tells us that the people of Israel, they sell righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. In other words, they sell things. They let go of who they are for a piece of silver, and they would cast out their best friend and throw him to the wayside for a pair of sandals off of his feet. They don't care anymore. They become complacent. They become greedy. They become evil. It says, the Lord requires justice, and the people of Judah provided bloodshed and injustice. You see, we are to provide for the poor and the hungry of this world. You see, the poor and the hungry of this world will always be with us. Jesus even told us that in His last few days. He said, the poor you will always have with you. But I won't always be with you in body, but I'll be with you in spirit. He tells us they're always going to be here. And it is our job as Christians, as children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to care for those around us, to help feed the poor and the hungry, to help take care of them in this world that we live in. You see, there are still starving children throughout the world, not only in other countries that you see on TV, that you can't stand to look at those commercials and you bleep them out because it makes you think. It makes your heart hurt. You don't like to look at them. You don't like to look at the bloated stomachs. You don't like to look at the sad faces because it reminds you of maybe someone that lives right down the road or lives across the street, or something that you can't do a whole lot about in another country. But maybe you can do something about it right here around the corner. You see, there is more than enough food in this world that you and I live in to feed all the hungry people. There should never be anyone that goes hungry in this world. We throw away so much, it is unreal, the waste. The things that we buy with our own money, that we have worked for, that we bring home with good intentions, and we stick it in our refrigerator or we leave it on our counters, and after a while the bananas have got too many brown spots and we just can't do anything with them, so what do? We throw them away. You make banana bread, people, that's what you do. You don't throw them away and you give it to your neighbors. What you do is so many times we look at it and we save our leftovers. And in a few weeks, we throw them away because they've got little things growing on them because we don't think about what we have. We have so much that we don't want to, that we can't take care of what we have. We have so much and we don't take care of. And we throw away our own selves, just our own stuff. Just look at the restaurants. Just look at the grocery stores. Just look at the places. Look at the farms. Look at the things that are wasted, the food that lays in fields and rots. We have more than enough to feed all the people in the world, that no one should go hungry. And not only that, going hungry, but whatever else can they do? Hungriness of their soul, hungriness of their spirit. Are we telling others about Jesus? Are we telling others about the great and mighty sacrifice that has been made for us? The vineyard overflows with grapes. And let us strive to provide for those in need and adhere to what God has called us for social justice. It's out there in our world today everywhere. We have people that want to come for a better life. It might not be legally. Most people that came to this world in the New World when it was begun did not come over here legally. They hid away in trunks and in boxes, and they hid because their life was in danger. They made it to this world. Part of my heritage and my history of my family, of the Williams family, my mama's side of the family, it goes back to many great-great-great-grandfathers of you long ago, hid in a trunk and came from England to the New World. And there's a book that's been written by someone in the family that says, Grandpa was a stowaway. And that's our story. And he was not the only one. But you think about that, of how we got here. People come wanting a new life because where they live is so horrible. People die when boats flip over in the ocean because they're trying to get here. People die at the borders, no matter where they are, because they're trying to get to a safer place. God has called you and I to help with social justice in this world. It might not always be the right thing. It might not always be the most politically thing to do. It might not always be the thing that makes everybody happy. But He says we're supposed to do it. You see, the farmer had given up on his vineyard. Therefore, he got upset and he removed the hedge that was surrounding it, that he had put up to protect it. Anyone who wanted to have the wild grapes were welcome to come in and eat all they wanted. But the farmer knew that if he withdrew his protection, that soon the vineyard would be little more than a field of thorns and briars, because he was going to leave it alone. After that harvest of grapes was over, the things would begin to grow. Nobody would protect it anymore. No one would watch over it anymore. And all the things would grow up. And it would be a field of thorns and briars. He took away the precious water that the grapes needed to grow. The fertile hill soon became a wasteland. And I ask us all this morning, and I make this statement, that when we take God away, when we take away God, when we take away the Scriptures, the people that love and serve from our environment, we begin to wither and we begin to die. Our lives become a wasteland where the thorns and the briars grow. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You this day for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your love for us, for Your kindness for us, for Your care of us, Your compassion in always being there to help us to lead and to guide in this world that is so very different, that is so very broken. A world where people seem to look out for themselves and no one else. A world that seems to want others to fail and themselves to get stronger and stronger. And not for the good of all, but for the good of self. Lord, we've lost so much. It's time for us to start looking to You. It's time for us to start looking at the world around us. It's time for us to start looking at our neighbors, our friends, our community, and seeing what it is we can do to help. It is time for us to begin to share all that we can about who you have called us all to be, who you have called us all to serve, how we are to do that. So, Lord, this morning, as we come to this time of sharing, as we come to this time of decision, that you open up our hearts and our minds to remind ourselves and to let us know that, yes, Lord, we are standing on the promises, that we've got that promise, and it's there every day, and all we have to do is to share it with those around us. Be with us now, for it is in your Son's name I do pray. Amen.